Blog Talk Radio.
Cigar and tobacco located on Alma School in Chandler Heights, 4991 South Alma School to be exact. Get in there, let them know PLR sent you, take 10% off of your cigar purchase. They are now serving beer and wine, so sit down, watch these NBA finals, one of the many televisions they have. Become a club member, get a locker that backs up to a humidor. Your sticks will never go bad. Again, that's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School in Chandler Heights. Let them know that PLR sent you, and they will take 10% off your cigar purchase. A lot of things to get into today. Like I said, I'm really looking forward to getting Ashley, NBA insider Ashley Neville's view on domestic assault in sports. We're gonna, if we got time, we'll talk a little hoops as well. And like I said, we have Greg Moore calling, Cameron Cox calling, and we're going to get a lot of stuff down. Call in number 917-889-7828. That is the Carrie Lackey Law Line. If you have something you want to get off your mind, now is the time to call in. I will have open lines for the next 6 minutes, and then we'll have to jump to the guests. Until then, like I said, 917-889-7828, Carrie Lackey Call In Line. Do have a caller on hold. Thank you for holding. You are in the K with PLR.
Good afternoon, Paul. This is Lou. I'll try to make it brief as I possibly can.
Lou, what's up, buddy? How are you today?
All right. Well, just when you think that the Warriors have it all made up, have it all set and ready, well, they get another injury. So this could dampen them even more.
You know what, Lou? I don't think it matters.
No?
No, I don't. I think Clay will play. I don't think he'll be, obviously, as great, but just having him out there means that's a person you can't leave open, you can't get away from him, you can't get unattached to him because I'm sure he'll still be able to shoot. Defensively, they'll come up with something. Yes, Kevon Looney is out for the rest of the playoffs with their shoulder. The one position that they can actually – that they actually have bodies at, they still have Boogie Cousins, who gave them 28, and I'm sure between Dorvin Bell and Andrew Bogut, they can have like 20 minutes. I mean, honestly, I know as I'm so confident when I talk about the Warriors, but I am.
You do.
I don't see it. I don't. We're so busy talking about what the Warriors' injuries are. Have you noticed why doesn't have any lift right now? That pod is bugged. He has no explosion. When Curry threw that lollipop pass that Livingston did, what every first grade coach tries to teach players on up, come to the ball and catch it, Kawhi Leonard didn't have explosion to that ball. When was the last time you saw Kawhi explode to the basket and dunk?
Never.
No. He has shot 58%, 54%, 44%, and now 38%. And every series, his percentage is getting lower and lower. He's being worn out, and that quad is hurting. So we keep talking about the Warriors' elements. We keep talking about all their problems. Kawhi isn't right. And if Kawhi isn't right, his others, I don't think, are good enough to beat Golden State.
But you think Klay can do it all by himself?
I don't think he can do it, but he doesn't have to. See, that's the whole point. He doesn't have to. If you have Klay out there, that means that's one other person you can't leave open. So that whole box and one janky run defense that they're running, fine, box and run. You know who's a zone buster? Klay Thompson. You know who else can shoot if you need him? Boogie Cousins. You know who else they can use on a post? Boogie Cousins. You know who else is going to ball handle? Draymond Green. See, they have two people that have been here before that have done this. It's just different. They know what to do. Iggy, Draymond, Livingston, Steph, Klay, Bogut. These are all champions. I'm sorry. I just don't have. I don't have that same thing when you hit me with Gasol and Lowry and Ibaka. It's not the same. So I still think six. I still think Toronto will get one more. I'm not worried. Until I see it, I'm not worried.
All right. Well. Thank you for that, but I still think this series is far from over.
So do I. That's why I call it six games.
Okay. Six games. All right. So is Kevin really a loony, or is that just just kidding. And the Blues came back strong last night. Now it's going to be at least six games.
Yes. I was just about to say that. I was going to say before I jump, the Blues are really making this interesting. It's amazing how this team went from just a terrible team in January to making it a best of three.
Yeah. Well, I knew this would not be an easy series for either team, and so far I've been right. Now, of course, Game 5, of course, is where it becomes, you know, crucial because the winner is one game away from winning it all.
Game 5 in any best-of-7 series is just pivotal. So, honestly, I think you have to treat Game 5 in any sport as an elimination game.
Yes.
You have to play a league. That's it. Because, it literally is, because rarely do you come back from down 3-2. And the game is a game in Boston.
Game 5 is in Boston, yes.
Yeah, you definitely. Well, here's the thing for Boston. Boston has to come out because I'm sure they don't want to get back to St. Louis down that game.
Especially after St. Louis got whooped in Game 3 at home.
You know, it's kind of funny because there's no momentum in this series. This team did this and they carried over. There's been no carryover. I mean, St. Louis got blasted in Game 3. And they came out of Game 4 like, oh, well, done. New day. So there's been no carryover.
Yeah.
It's not a series. Very good.
Yeah, I've noticed that too.
So and you rarely get that. Hey, some other quick breaking news real quick before I have to fly on you. It looks like Todd Gurley will be used less by the Rams. So I just want your opinion on this. The Rams paying too much money too soon? Should they have waited a year?
Yeah, I think he should have waited a year.
Yeah, you just never know.
Gurley's a good quarterback.
Football.
I mean, Gurley's good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy that you in that position, you just never know.
And the Patriots are going to get rid of Jenkins.
Yeah. Yep.
So, touche.
Yes, sir. But listen, my friend.
All right, Paul, I know you
got to jump on.
So I'll leave it at that.
Hey, good to hear from you. Talk to you next. Talk to you tomorrow, hopefully.
Right.
Always good to catch up with Lou, good friend of the program. Always love when he calls in. Always has something good to say. So, like I said, always good to catch up with him. Online, though, right now, on the Kerry Lackey Law Line, if you are watching sports at all or involved in sports at all and you want to know what's going on in the NBA, all you need to go to is anything that says Ashley Neville. She is as tuned in as you can be in the NBA, NBA Insider. My buddy, my friend, the one, the only Ashley Neville here on the Cave Show with PLR. Ashley, what's going on?
Hey, Paul, how are you?
What's up, my friend? How are you today?
I'm doing great. I love coming on your show. You're amazing. And I love talking sports with you. You're one of my favorites. So appreciate you for having me on again.
You know what? The check is in the mail. Okay? I appreciate that. The check is definitely in the mail.
Oh, I'm waiting on my check, though. It's coming my way or what?
Yeah, coming your way for that compliment.
Awesome. Appreciate that.
We've been inundated with NBA draft, Suns workouts. Just, I say it all the time, how much fun this stuff is. But will you tell people, I'm not alone. These pre-drafts and summer league, as much fun as the games are, it's fun to watch these young kids really try to live out their dreams and start that next phase of their career.
What did you say? Sorry, I'm having trouble hearing you. I put you on real quick. But you were talking about
saying,
summer league.
Yeah, and the NBA draft workouts. I said, I tell people all the time, it is fun watching these kids and talking to these kids, trying to live out their dream and how the work that they're putting in. And I just think it's a blast watching these kids play and try.
It is. I mean, they're getting to live out the dream, like you said, that they've been dreaming about since they were kids, you know, things that you never know that you never know if you're going to make it. I mean, think about all these kids who have these dreams growing up and then to actually live it out and see it as a reality. I mean, it's awesome. Summer league is even better. You know, it's obviously fun for us because we get to watch it unfold, but you know, a lot of these kids that I've been talking to who are in the draft process are truly enjoying the process. You know, some of them you could tell are a little nervous. Others are just truly just taking it all in and enjoying it for what it's worth. So it's great. I mean, some of these kids are going from, you know, not having any money to making millions of dollars, and it's awesome. You know, they've been working hard for this moment. So, yeah, it's very exciting, and then obviously it's a good time to have fun and get fun content with these guys and just really get to know them on a personal level. So it's been fun. It's been a great time.
You know, I wanted to ask you a different question, which is part of the reason why I had you on today, because I want your opinion on this. You always have such good insight on things, and that's one of the reasons why I love talking to you about anything. But more and more, it seems like we're having more and more domestic abuse in sports. And I just kind of want to give you my thought, and I want you to tell me what you think of that, and what you think a possible solution would be. We know that people mm-hmm. do dumb things, do illegal things. People do things they shouldn't mm-hmm. do, because there is no excuse to put your hands on a woman. It's just
yeah.
ridiculous. But my question has always been, when people say, this person should be out of the league, they shouldn't do this, they should do that, my question to them, and no one ever answers this, what do you want them to do then? So if you've done something you have no business doing, and you served your suspension, and you come back, and someone says, well, they should never play pro football again or pro baseball again, what job do they want them to take where they're not going to ever come into contact with someone of the opposite sex and do a job that they've never trained for. So I'm confused at that, and I want your opinion on what should they do after they've served their suspensions.
Well, I mean, you do make a good point where I guess you can apply that to any industry. You know, if someone, I think there's just a bigger light that shines on it in pro sports just because it's something that's on television all the time. Kind of like if someone in politics who's well-known did something to their wife or other women, I mean, obviously it would get publicized a lot more as opposed to someone that's just working an office job in 9-to-5. No one's going to really care as much, but the fact that, and let me just go on the record and say they should care as much because domestic violence is domestic violence, regardless of what job you work at. But like you said, I mean, these guys are under a spotlight, under a microscope 24/7. So anything that they do, you know, someone's going to find out about it, especially if it's involving something as sensitive and something that obviously the police are going to see or have to be involved with. So like you said, I mean, I feel like there should be a suspension. I feel like they should serve their time. But like how we kicked Ray Rice out of the league, I mean, what he did was horrible, you know, at the end of the day. But does he really need to be banned forever? I don't think so. I definitely don't agree with that because, like you said, what are they going to do? You know, they've spent their whole life working toward a goal, and that goal is to work in the NFL. So you're going to kick them out of a league for domestic violence when I feel like also that's something that's personal. You know, I don't like to always mix professional and personal, but at the end of the day, like, they had to because it was something that was in the public. You know, we saw it, they got caught, and I'm sure there's a lot of people who deal with this stuff behind the scenes that we don't even know exist. I'm sure there's a lot of other women getting into domestic disputes with their husbands that we don't even know about, and I think there should be a harsh punishment for it because if we're just going to give them a slap on the wrist, that's not setting a good example. You know, we're showing that this is okay, and it's not okay. So I think regardless, you know, if you get in trouble for something like that, you're going to come in contact with women. I mean, you can't have a restraining order against you, against all women. That's just impossible. I mean, that's just impossible to ask for. But I don't know where they expect him to work at a jail. I mean, that's only just split up between men and women. I mean, I don't know. There's no, you can't really tell him he can't work in an industry with women anymore. I don't know, even know what it has to do with working with other women. If it's a domestic dispute, he's dealing with his wife or a girlfriend. It's not with other women most of the time. So yeah, I mean, there should be a severe, a harsh punishment, and obviously counseling, community service type things, but that's something wrong with you mentally, you know, but I don't think that it should be out of the league forever. Then again, a lot of these athletes do think that they're invincible, do think that they can get away with anything. And they also tend to think that, oh, they're never going to believe you. I'm blah, blah, blah. I'm this person. They need me in this league. But again, something like that, if it comes to light, you could be replaced in the snap of a finger. So you're not invincible when it comes to this stuff. So I don't think they should be banned forever, but there should be a very harsh punishment, yes.
On the Cave Show, on the Kerry Lackey Law Line with PLR, the one, the only NBA insider, Ashley Neville. Two things I've always said about this, and maybe this is the way that all leagues should work together and go. If you are found guilty, And I put that on guilty just because we've seen instances where people have been accused of things and we as a public have rushed to judge them as bad person, and then it comes back that they're innocent and all the energy that's put in to make them look bad isn't put in to say, oh, wait a second, they didn't do it. But if you're found guilty, I think no matter what sport you're in, you should get half a season. If you're found guilty a second time, you get the full season. Now, if you're found guilty the third time, then you can say, yeah, you could be banned for life at that point, because if you're a police officer and that happens, you're going to be fired. If it's something that you've gone and got help and you didn't fix it, if you're a firefighter, if you work for Chase, you're eventually going to get fired for it. So I think there should be a regiment out all the way through. Thoughts on maybe that as a way of doing it, as opposed to just everyone jumping on, they should be gone. And then you have a consistent rule put in place. And it's league-wide, no matter what league it is, and maybe that's one way they could all get together and make that same standard.
I could agree in that sense. I think I don't know. I would even push it for longer than a year, to be honest. Even on a first defense, I feel like you know that that's wrong to put your hands on a woman. And the woman should not put her hands on a man either. I mean, it goes both ways.
Yes.
Yes. I think it should go both ways, but I think you should be banned longer than a year. That's something that's very severe.
Okay.
I mean, I understand. I'm all about the three strikes and you're out rule. But again, this is something that you know that you shouldn't do. I mean, this is illegal. I mean, I don't know how some of these guys are raised. I mean, a lot of these guys. I don't want to put athletes in like a bubble and say that they're all like this or they're all like that. But when you look at football, I mean, that's a very aggressive sport. And every person, most of them that I know who are in football, they're very aggressive people in general. And they can be very nice, but something can make them tick. I mean, think about when you're on the football field. Your brain has to switch when you're out there, like, I need to kill this man in front of me. It's a very intense sport, and I can see why a lot of these guys in the NFL in particular, I mean, we're seeing it in the MLB too, but the NFL, I can see why this happens more so because these men are very aggressive and they're very alpha. And they get their heads banged around 24/7. They're not always in the right state of mind. But again, this isn't an excuse for that. There's no excuse for that. But I think it should be longer than a year. And I do think all these leagues do need to band together to make it be known that, like, this is not okay. This is something we will not tolerate. And I think women need to do a better job at speaking out and speaking up. I feel
yeah.
that a lot of these women, like, for example, Ray Rice's wife was right next to him when he – you know, approached the media about this, and she kind of, like, forgave him. And I can't speak on that because I'm not in that situation. I hope I'm never in a situation like that, but I do know what it feels like I never got hit before, but I do know what it's like to be verbally abused, and I do understand how hard it is to get out of something like that when you are very close and in love with somebody. It is very manipulating. And you feel like, oh, maybe he'll change. And, you know, you get so far deep into it where it gets very difficult to leave. So that's another issue is a lot of these guys will be accused of something and then the person doesn't want to go forward with it or press, you know, take it to court, for example. But I also think the media needs to do a better job at understanding that just because someone is accused of something doesn't mean that they committed the crime. And that's where things kind of go south with a lot of media is that they break a story and all of a sudden that athlete is guilty. And that's not how justice is served. I mean, we're in a country where I guess it's guilty till proven innocent, but or innocent until proven guilty. But at the end of the day, it's like they just jump on it too quickly. You know, you're always innocent
yeah.
until proven guilty. So I don't know why the media have, like, for example, anything that we've heard of recently about Josh Jackson, for example, like, we don't know the true story. We don't know the real story. We just know what the police wrote down. We don't know Josh's side of the story. So everyone was so quick to say, he's troubled, he's this, he's that. But we didn't hear his side of the story, you know? We didn't hear the full
right.
story about why he got in that situation. So I feel like that happens a lot with different athletes. I mean, I only gave that example just because that's something that was the most recent. But I mean, we hear the MLB stuff, we hear NFL stuff all the time, but again, like guilty, I mean, to me, it's innocent until proven guilty, always innocent until proven guilty. I'm not that person that says they're guilty until proven innocent because there's files against you doesn't mean that it's true until you're in court, until there's facts to back it up. So a lot of times I think media needs to do a better job at seeing everything through. I mean, you could talk about it. And you know, discuss it, but it's not really fair to put all these athletes in a bad name.
On the Kerry Lackey Law Line on the Cave Show with PLR, the one, the only Ashley Double NBA insider. So before you get out of here, I got to tell you something that's so funny. So I've been watching, and I did a GIF on it. That look you gave me when I said Ricky Rubio. Let me give some background here. So Ashley and I were on the AZ Central YouTube with Greg Moore, who invited us down to talk basketball, to talk Suns. And I made the suggestion that the Suns should get Ricky Rubio the week before. So I brought it up again when Ashley and I were both on the show again. And I'm going to I'm going to tweet this out probably later today. The look that she gave me, and you could read her lips saying Ricky Rubio, is actually one of the funniest things I think I've seen in a longest time. But when you stop and think about it, is that really a bad thought that I have, getting in a point guard that doesn't want to score with a bunch of guys that do want to score?
I mean, it wasn't a bad thought. It wasn't a bad thought because he is a very team-first guy, but, like, his jump shot is trash. See, like, why you would want to get, like, a guard that doesn't – that. I mean, obviously we want Book to be shooting the ball. We want to be able to feed DeAndre down low. But, again, like, we need a point guard that is a willing passer. But then we also need someone that we can count on to take over the game if we need to, someone that can drive to the basket, someone who has a nice jump shot, a three-point shot. I mean, that was the one thing I've always been critical. I'll admit I haven't watched a ton of him since his Timberwolves days, and I liked him on the Timberwolves a lot. but, again, the one thing that I always was questioning was his jump shot. And that was one thing, like, you need a jump shot, you need a three-pointer. I mean, he has a very high IQ for the game, and he might be someone that the Suns can get without having to pay a lot of money. Because he's not, like, you know, a top-tier point guard. But, like, I mean, he could give us what we want, for sure. But, I mean, then again, I don't know. I don't know. But it wasn't bad. But now that you mention it, you know, he's a free agent. And they clearly don't want to bring him back next season. So, I mean, you might be onto something, which makes me wonder, like, who have you been talking to?
Just,
you know something we don't know.
All I'm saying is I know he only shoots 31% from the three-point line. I know he only shoots 40% field goal, but he's an 85% free throw shooter, which means anytime he gets fouled in the fourth quarter, he's going to the line, he's hitting shots. That's a good thing. And he's not going to take away from Book. If they re-sign Oubre, he's not going to take away from him, not going to take away from Aiden. Just saying, but it's the face that you made and the lips, lips repeating, Ricky Rubio.
I loved it.
That was.
I didn't even realize. That was the best part. I don't even realize I do some of this stuff sometimes, and people tell me that, like, my reactions to things and my facial expressions are hilarious, and I don't even realize I do it half the time, to be honest with you. I mean, it's just something, like, that just happens, and I'm like, damn, I need to be a little bit more careful when I'm on camera because I don't realize. I mean, that was just a natural reaction because I'm like, Ricky Rubio, what?
Well I'm air with this right now, and I know you have to jump in a second, but he's following you here. Greg Moore, obviously we know Greg, award-winning columnist, AZ person on. Greg, you're on air on the Kerry Lackey Long Line. Ashley was on with me as well, and I was telling her about her face when I said Rubio, and I just think it was just a fantastic look that she gave, and when she repeated it.
Listen, that was one of the greatest
awesome
moments in the internet. I loved it. I do the same thing. Ashley, yo, you're not alone. Thank God for these videos. I make the most absurd faces, especially like when I'm listening or concentrating. Oh, my goodness, does my face contort and screw up? If somebody were to just sit around making memes out of the faces I make, it's unreal.
I don't even realize I do it half the time. And then, you know, someone will send me a picture. They'll be like, what were you thinking about? I'm like, oh, my God, like, you're catching me totally off guard. I mean, if I hear something as blasphemous as that, I'm going to make a face. I mean, I don't know what you expect me to do. I mean, but I have another idea. I got another idea for you guys as we're talking about a point guard. So Kyrie is obviously leaving the Celtics. What if he ends up choosing the Nets? Were D'Lo and Spencer Dinwiddie, at least one of them, is going to be on the move. Are they not?
So listen, I would take either one. Now, if you're going to ask me to pick, and I've got to only pick one of them, I would probably take Dinwiddie. No, Dinwiddie.
No,
now, and listen, I'm doing this off the top of my head, so you'll forgive me, so I don't have statistics in front of me. But Dinwiddie was playing great ball before he got hurt. Also, Devin Booker is really, really tight with D'Angelo Russell. Frankly, I don't like that mix. Right? I don't like that mix because I see that being an opportunity for guys to be, I don't know, maybe somehow less than mature, for guys to sort of sit around and enjoy each other's company and not really focus on business. Like we saw Devin get into trouble. I think, and Ashley, you'll know this better than me. Paul, you'll know this better than me. But wasn't Devin down there at the Rolling Loud Festival when Josh got into trouble?
Yeah, but it had nothing to do with Devin.
I'm just saying if Devin was there and he's the leader that we all think he is, maybe they shouldn't have been there. Maybe they should have been relaxing somewhere else. Maybe they should have been doing something else. Maybe Devin should be holding his friends to a higher standard than to get themselves into that kind of trouble. But I say all this, I don't even know what happened. I don't have all the facts. And so until that point, I know everything that happened. I'm not going to criticize or really go in too deep on anybody because I think we do that too soon. But then the other thing is I think Devin was on an elevator with another one of his buddies who ended up getting cut. Now, we don't know if that was actually Devin because the team, I don't think, has ever addressed it. And he was dressed like a bandit. So it could have been like a 6'6" Devin lookalike with a bandana on. So I don't have the answers is what I'm saying. But I know that Spencer Dinwiddie, I don't think he has that kind of relationship with Devin. And so maybe he'll come in with a different kind of professionalism. And I'll give you one more piece of it that I love with Dinwiddie. This is not a lottery pick. This is not a guy who's had the whole world handed to him on a platter. This is a guy who's had to earn everything he gets. And if you put a guy like that in the mix with some guys who otherwise might be entitled, they'll see how hard he's working, how much he's busting their tail, and he might be the right fit for the organization.
And I love that. You're making excellent points, and I'm going to go a little bit further to enhance your point, is that I know Spencer Dinwiddie would love to be in Phoenix. That is just a given. I mean, he'd love to be in other places, but I know he loves Phoenix. Who does not love Phoenix when they come here? Every time a player comes here, even if it's to visit, everyone loves Phoenix.
That's what I'm saying,
live.
Right?
I
like, we
Phoenix.
Know the guy's going to love it here. Forget about it, right?
Right. And I know he would want to be here because I think he was actually – he might have worked out for the Suns or something. I know there's a tie there somewhere. I'm not sure. I need to go back and, like, do some research because I'm not by a computer either, but – I know there's some sort of a tie there that could work, but then again, like, I get your point about being too close, too buddy-buddy, but, like, I feel like D'Lo and Booker, they already know each other's tendencies, they've already played together, so it could work. I know they both are, you know, they both kind of want to have the ball in their hand, they both want to score, but I feel like they could figure out a way to work together if they needed to, but I do love the fit with Dinwiddie. I do, a lot.
So, and here's the thing I think about. One of the things that I think about when I think about a guy like Russell plus a guy like Booker is I'm reminded of New York Knicks teams that had similar skill sets. You'll remember when Amari Stoudemire first went to the Knicks, Carmelo Anthony was already there. You'll also remember maybe a few years before that when the Knicks had Steve Francis and also Stephon Marbury. Now, you can take guys who have similar skill sets and figure out a way to make it work if you're running one of those amorphous systems where – you know, it's positionless. Everybody has sort of similar things that they do. But if you've got two guys who are kind of the same guy, it takes a lot of figuring out. And I don't know that Devin really has had the opportunity to know who he is in the NBA yet. We know that he's like a volume scorer. We know that he's clutch. We know a lot about him. But that would be a completely different thing for him to have to figure out. And I really think that this is an opportunity for them to take a step forward. I don't want to see them figure anything out. I want to see them sort of know stuff. But, listen, every single thing that I just said, right, if D'Angelo Russell comes to town, you welcome that guy with open arms and give him the opportunity because he's clearly an upgrade. Clearly he's an upgrade. He's an all-star.
Oh,
bring him in
absolutely.
If you can get him, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Wilson.
I mean, I would take either one, but I mean, we already know. I mean, I don't know how Kyrie and D'Lo would fit together. Then again, I don't know if Kyrie's going to go there because it seems like LeBron's been trying to recruit Kyrie back to LA, and I feel like Kyrie has kind of already apologized for some of the things that went down in terms of him asking for a trade from Cleveland to go to the Celtics. So you never know. I mean, I feel like, you know, LeBron and Kyrie could do big things together. I feel like Kyrie was kind of like you don't know what you had until it was gone. And Kyrie was like, damn. You know, like I had another guy that, like, I could defer to. You know, it wasn't like, I mean, we've seen Kyrie take over his own games, but it's nice to have that other piece that you could depend on, a guy that's kind of been there, done that. A guy, I mean, there's a ton of young guys on the Celtics right now. And I feel like Kyrie is at a point where he needs to be around at least, like, one or two superstars who've been there, done that, who know what it takes to get to that next level. So I don't know where he's going to end up, but I know the Suns are probably going to be involved in something with that, even if it's like a three-way kind of trade or whatever. But I really am high on the fact, and someone just reported, you know, that the Suns are thinking about trading for that sixth pick. They would be stupid not to. They would be stupid not to, in my opinion. They would be. Think about
it. A little bit. Well, no, because you can get Brandon Clark. If he's the guy that you like, you can get him at 10. Like, you can slide back a little bit. You can do some things with that pick for sure.
How about this?
I mean, I agree.
How about
that? I just don't think that any... Go ahead.
I said, how about not
what?
Draft? Not draft in the first round anyway. The last thing the Suns need is another young player. But I'm listening to you.
My point.
I love this. Instead of Kyrie going to Brooklyn, because I honestly – from everything I've been told, Kyrie's not going to L.A. Just him and LeBron have made up, but they haven't made up to play together, made up. But instead of all that outside of my Ricky Rubio blockbuster that I want, why not just go after Kyrie?
Nah, man, you don't need Kyrie. You need Johnny Flynn. You need to put Johnny Flynn and Ricky Rubio back together in Phoenix, and that's what has to happen.
Oh, my God, Johnny Flynn. You just went there. That might have been more crazy than what – than what he said about Ricky Rubio, man.
I just saw
you are tripping. Yo,
what
kind of drugs you on, man? Are you good? Are you okay?
I'm beyond okay. I'm on Sudafed and a glass of water, and you don't want any of this right now. It's Johnny Flynn or bust. I want to bring in Jim Boeheim as an assistant coach. He knows Devin from Team USA. He knows Monty from Team USA. Go get me Johnny Flynn, Jimmy Boeheim, and maybe like Jerry McNamara. Let's do this.
Oh, my God. You are on something. I know. That just took a left turn. That just took a major left turn. Like, we are going the wrong way, bro. We are going the wrong way on this.
This is a cave show with PLR on the Carrie Lackey Law Line. Sedated Greg Moore.
Oh, man, I'm dead. If only we were on camera for this, for more gifts. We needed more gifts for that because if you saw my facial expressions when you said Johnny Flynn, man, oh, my God, it would have been.
That's only because you knew in your heart that it was the right thing. That was only because you knew in your heart you believed it.
Oh, my goodness, no. No way. Johnny Flynn, the guy who was supposed to be better than Steph Curry, supposed to be better than all these guys. Oh, man.
Could the Suns pay afford Johnny Flynn because I hear he's doing really well over at Best Buy?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Did I say something wrong? I apologize.
I mean, wow.
Yeah, man, you went too far, man. I'm making a legitimate request for the Phoenix Suns front office to really consider a player who I feel like has been overlooked. And you just went all the way there, Paul. It's just irresponsible and reckless of you, and I'm just not happy. I don't want to be a part of this.
Well, you know what?
You asked for it.
I saw him. That was him. In fact, he even asked. He said, do you want to buy this TV because I'm Johnny Flynn? And I said, nope, because you were a bust in Minnesota. No,
that's wrong, man.
Quick question for the both of you, real quick.
Obviously,
there's a lot of things that are going on with the Suns. Do you foresee anyone or all of these players coming back? Do you foresee Warren coming back? Do you foresee Jackson coming back? And do you think they're going to make an offer for Rashawn Holmes?
Ooh, should I go first or what?
Yeah, please.
I don't care. I can go. Yeah, go ahead, Ashley, please.
So, I don't know where to start. Like I said, I think that number six pick is very appealing to a lot of other NBA teams right now. I think, as I had mentioned, I think Tyler would be on the chopping block for that just because his contract is super expensive. Oh, and that's another reason why we're not getting Chris Paul, just because his contract's super high and we're not about to deal with this. But we got Tyler. I think TJ has a lot of trade value, to be honest, even though he sat out most of the season in terms of just, like, what he was able to do with his increased three-point shot and just the fact that he's a gym rat. He's not going to cause any problems. So I feel like number six pick, possibly TJ, Tyler, that could be something to put in there. I'm not sure if the Suns are going to want Josh back next season, given everything that's happened in the offseason, given the fact that he missed that one, what was it, like that autograph signing with the fans. That was a really bad look.
Yeah.
Regardless of what he had going on, it wasn't a great look for him. So, but I don't know if he has a lot of trade value at this point. I mean, he played well last season, toward the end of the season, because I feel like the competition got higher once they signed Kelly. Once TJ started going off, I feel like Josh was like, damn, I need to set my game up here. They're trying to bring in some other guys that could possibly replace me. So I thought that was a little bit of motivation for him, and I thought he played well. Except the fast break dunk that he would miss sometimes. I mean, that drove me crazy. But besides that, I thought he played very, very well. Rashawn Holmes, I mean, depending on what they can get for him, I like Rashawn. I don't think they should get rid of him. I thought he was a great energy off the bench. I think he always kind of plays with that chip on his shoulder, you know, just given where he grew up in Chicago. All right. My
Correct.
Hometown of Chicago.
Chicago.
We're going to go there. First of all, we're not starting this now. We're not starting this now, but we can start next time.
I am not holding that against Rashawn Holmes. I really, really like Rashawn Holmes. In fact, I like him so much that I'm willing to overlook the reality that he's from the second most important city in the Midwest. But since we're talking about Phoenix, Phoenix Suns.
The second, yes. What's the first
Greg, hold on one second, because I have to introduce someone to our conversation. News anchor at 12 News, the one, the only, Cameron Cox is online.
What's up, guys? Man, I was having a blast listening to you guys. I was going to let y'all go at it. I was going to sit back, pour me some drink, and listen to you guys go at it.
Cam, what do you think, man? What do you think? Tell these people why Chicago is like one of the worst places in the world to do anything.
Wow.
Hey, traffic is cold. They got the Bulls and the Cubs. Should I just keep going on and on? I mean,
please do, man.
No.
This is
terrible.
We can be here all day.
Terrible.
Cam, the next time I see you, you are in big trouble, buddy.
I've only been to Chicago. I've only been to Chicago once, and I had a very good time in Chicago.
I don't have anything against Chicago. In fact, some of my best friends are from Chicago.
Yeah, you know, we're awesome.
But just so y'all know, it goes. This is the greatest cities on this planet. It goes H-Town and then Phoenix. So just so that everybody understand and know, just so everybody knows that we're clear on that. But that's
it. It's not where you're from. It's where you're at. It's about Phoenix, and it's Phoenix first. I bring back Rashawn Holmes, particularly if I can get him in at the right number. He didn't make a whole lot last season. I want to say he made 1.5 last season. I'm doing this off the top of my head. But the Phoenix Suns have a lot of cap flexibility. They don't have a lot of room right this second. They've got two exceptions, a biannual exception and a mid-level exception, one being about $13.5 million, the other one being about $1.5 million. I feel like there's some things that they can do, some guys that they can move to create the room, because I think you need the energy that Rashawn Holmes brings. I think Rashawn is like a poor man's – he's like a poor man's Dennis Rodman, right? Like, he's just out there to create some havoc, to check some people, to jump around, right? Like, he's not going to do these crazy things. I don't want you to feel like I think that he's going to be like a Hall of Fame rebounder, but I think that that's the skill set that you're going to get out of him.
He's not going to wear a wedding dress to his wedding.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's not going to marry himself, right, or court Kim Jong-un. Like, there's some things that we don't have to worry about. He's probably also not going to take Madonna to prom. Like, these things aren't going to happen. He might be in a car where somebody's got a joint in South Florida. I would just advise all young black men to stay out of South Florida during the summertime. I wouldn't fool around,
Phoenix,
it seems
Suns
to me.
Stay out of South Florida. They can't go to Florida anymore. No longer
so
allowed to go to Florida. No, not Miami, not the beach. Just stay out of Florida. We'll just keep it at that.
Now, let's bring that to the next piece of it, is we got to talk about Josh and TJ. Paul asked if we think that both of them would be back. I don't know that there's room on the roster for both of them, because I think they would. So they have similar fits on the court, even if they don't have similar skill sets. TJ is a scorer's scorer. He's as cute as anybody around the basket as we've seen in the league in the last generation. He proved later that he could shoot a three-point shot. I think he can be competent defensively. I don't think he'll ever be a great defender, but I think he can be in the way. Josh Jackson, however, has a transcendent level of athleticism that made him the fourth pick in the draft when clearly his game was quite raw and clearly he came into the league with some baggage from his college days. If you can find the situation where you can get Josh's head where it needs to be, get the most out of that young man as a man, he will become a terrific ball player because that level of athleticism is not something you can replicate. I think his skill set is enough to keep him at a high trade value. Move in trades because the Suns just have a lot of people at those positions, especially if you bring Kelly back with the mid-level exception.
So when I'm looking at their offseason, guys, and y'all tell me if you know you guys agree with this or not, but this is how I see it. They got a lot of pieces that I think that can go places. I think Howard Johnson can be used as trade bait. He's going to make $19 million next year. Do they really want that on their books? I think they got to bring back Kelly Oubre. To me, if you can figure out a way to package Josh and T.J. Warren, you know, we all know how much they like Mikal Bridges. So if you can figure out a way to package maybe Warren and Jackson and get something in return for that, to me, that's always been the way to go. I'm not too high really on anybody in this draft. I mean, I get it. They'll get another young guy that hopefully turns out good, but I want to see this roster have some nice turnover to it, get some guys in here that can play. I wouldn't mind keeping Josh Jackson. Like you said, I think he's got a skill set that will be good long-term if he can get his head right. But the problem is I don't think you can trade TJ's contract without something else to it. So it might have to be a combo of something to get something back in return if you're going to figure out a way to move TJ.
So I wrote a column about this on AZ Central Sports. If you go to azcentral.com and you look around for it, if you use Google, use Bing. But I talked to a couple of salary cap gurus, and we just went through a bunch of different scenarios. There is room to get pretty much anybody you might like, and then TJ, that pick, and Tyler are going to be the key to a lot of different things because of the numbers attached to their contracts and because of the potential they could bring you. Like, so if you want to just, like, open up room just to bring in a free agent, you could trade Tyler to, like, the Chicago Bulls for very little in return. Tyler is a competent ball player. He would look nice next to Zach LaVine. That opens you up to go after, you know, somebody else. And you guys mentioned Chris Paul. I would love to see Chris Paul in L.A. with LeBron James. And I wonder how that might look. Would that free up Rajon Rondo? Could we get Rondo in Phoenix? Because I also think that Rondo could be a good leader, a good guy who can bark a lot in the locker room, and a good guy who can set others up with offense without demanding the ball for himself. I don't know, sort of like Ricky Rubio.
You saw what Jamal Crawford did. Jamal Crawford was fantastic for this team last year.
Don't send people to the Bulls. I got the Bulls part handled. Don't send Tyler Johnson to the Bulls.
That's oh, God.
I love
Rajon
Rondo.
Ricky Rubio. He'd be a good fit here. Rondo would be a good fit here. Here's the deal.
He would be.
Anybody would be a good fit here. It's better than what they had last year. They got to find them a leader who can be either a backup point guard or can be a starting point guard. And they got to find somebody quickly because it's clear as day. When this team didn't have any kind of general, the closest they had to that was Jamal Crawford. He was fantastic for them.
He was.
Yeah.
That's the closest they had to any type of, to me, real leader on the court. So if you can get some older guys like a Rondo.
I thought Tyler when he came here.
Agree.
Tyler
looked
nice
good
for the short time. But if they got to find some guys who have some fight in them, who have some real leadership ability. I don't care if they fit the timeline, the process timeline doesn't bother me. Just get some ball players in here that can lead this team and hold these young kids accountable. Because that's where you got to start with it at first.
Hey,
I agree. Also, maybe finding someone long-term, someone a little bit more long-term. Not some of these guys are starting to want to do those one-year contracts or shorten their contracts, but they need something that's going to be consistent. You know, we can't keep having this turnover, you know, of different guys coming to town, different guys getting traded. different guys getting waived. I mean, we need something. They need something consistent. So someone that's willing to sign somewhat of a long-term contract so that they can have that time to gel over the next couple of years.
Here's a problem with having Rondo. Rondo doesn't always play nice with a young team. And at this stage in Rondo's career, I don't think a rebuild is something that he's interested in, to be perfectly honest with you. So that's why the thing with the Suns is I think they need to find a point guard, obviously, that, one, likes to pass the ball, two, likes to defend. And I don't care if you're a good defender, but you like to defend and you have the effort to defend and, at worst, be a good team defender. And three, I think you have to have someone that's going to be here, like Ashley said, more than 1 year or 2 years. Guys like Rondo are stopgaps. One trade that I did hear about that's kind of floating around now, the number six for Lonzo Ball. One, do you think he would fit here? And two, do you think he'll be healthy enough long run to fit here?
No, thanks. I'm good. I'll pass.
I'm fine.
Who else you guys are both?
I'm good, love,
you guys
and joy.
You guys are both nuts. I'll take Lonzo in a heartbeat.
Of course you would take Lonzo in a heartbeat. You know why? Because he's better than anything they have right now. Sure, I'll take him. We'll see what he's got. Is he the solution long term? Probably not.
Wow, he's a big dude. He's pass first. He can play a little defense, and I think there's room for his game to grow. I also hear good things about his attitude and how he is as a teammate. The thing I don't like is that he's a little bit on the young side, of course. I want 27, 28-year-olds first and foremost. But if Lonzo is your plan B or C or D, if you end up with Lonzo, I think that is an improvement over anything that you're going to get potential-wise with the number six pick. The number six pick is going to give you a rookie who has to figure some things out. We know that Lonzo's already been through that process.
Number one, the injuries really scare me, number one. For someone that's so young, already getting injured like that, missing, you know, more than half the season, worries me. Second of all, I mean, like I said,
that jump shot is 1B.
That was my second point.
He shoots just about as good as me when I try to play at the gym.
Oh,
I'm just throwing that out there.
Goodness.
And it's not pretty. It's not
what
pretty.
That means is that Ashley had two great points. That's what I'm hearing.
That was my that's
the
thing. I guess that they want a willing passer, but that doesn't mean that you need to take away their shooting. This is a 3-point league now. We need a guy that can make a consistent 3-pointer if we want. If he's consistently going to be passing the ball to Booker, Booker's going to get double and triple teamed. What do? You need someone that's able to create their own shot. We need a guy who can also create their own shots, but also create shots for other people. So that's what you need. And also, too, like you mentioned, you know, the New York system where everyone kind of plays a similar role. I feel like the NBA has almost become positionless to the point where guys are being able to – I mean, we're seeing, you know, a guy like Kevin Durant take the ball off the floor. I mean, he's not a point guard.
Right.
He can play like one. So I feel like
you need to
find someone, who can pass the ball, who can facilitate, create shots for others. But it can also shoot. I mean, that's kind of important to be able to score baskets, don't you think?
Yeah.
That passing style with the Warriors do it really well. You just see anybody take it up the court. Draymond Green sometimes starts the offense, but guess what? That ball is going to fling around eight different times, and then somebody's going to get an open shot.
Exactly.
Guys, we're down to the last 3 minutes, so this is my last question for everyone. If you can give me a quick answer, I'd appreciate it. So I wanted to go to the Lonzo Ball thing real quick. And here's a reason why I think he would be a good fit. One, he does something that the Suns just don't do. He plays defense. And to have someone that's a good on-ball defender for one or two, I think is a good thing to have. Two, Jason Kidd couldn't shoot when he came in the league at all. And his career turned out pretty well. And three, analytically, what these finals are telling us is that a 3-point shot analytically is great. See Houston, the fool's gold of the NBA. Sorry, Cam. But see the fool's gold of the NBA. You don't have to shoot threes. You have to be able to make and take the best shot available. Kevin Durant is not a three-point shooter. He's a mid-range shooter that's a really good three-point shooter. But when you look at
multiple
shots.
Man, can I get you to tell the Rockets that? That would be great if you could tell Daryl Morey the Rockets that. I would love for you to tell them that in person, please. But continue.
Yeah,
sorry, I just had to say that.
Analytically, I think analytics are great. I think when you try to apply everything on an analytic basis, you lose yourself. Because this NBA Finals, Kawhi Leonard is a top three player in the NBA that can shoot a three, but all his shots analytically are bad shots. So, in saying that, we're going to go around one time. Like I said, we're down to the last couple minutes. If you could have one point guard on this team for next year, we'll start with Ashley. Who would your point guard be?
Oh, man. That's difficult now that you say that. I'm, like, super high on Drew Holiday. I don't know why. I just really like what he provides, and I know that he's, you know, he likes to shoot, but he also can pass. And he's always talked about being a combo guard. That's something that he's always took pride in, is having more versatility. He's also a veteran. He's been around. He also played for the Pelicans. So I feel, you know, I think he'd be a really good fit. And I also think the veteran leadership. I mean, he's a guy that's kind of been there, done that. He's been to the playoffs. He has a consistent, you know, he has a good shot, but he can also facilitate the ball. I would really love that, honestly, if we can try to get him. That would be key, but I don't think it's going to happen because I know he likes New Orleans a lot.
Greg, 45 seconds. Who would you pick?
Kevin Durant. Go to azcentral.com and see some of the points I've laid out for him. But if
let's be realistic.
We just said that. No, that's realistic. You can get Kevin. Kevin's
going to
come for 30-something million. You can open up 30 million. He's got the great relationship with Monty. He's got the great relationship with Devin Booker. Jerry Colangelo has blessed the organization. Kevin Durant has a great relationship with Mr. C. If you're talking blue sky, right, Greg, you can only get one dude. Go get him. You get Kevin Durant, you play him at the point.
Greg, that's why I like you, Greg. That's why I like
you. Know that, right?
I'm going Kevin Durant, too. And if we can't get Kevin Durant, go get me D'Angelo Russell. Make sure he doesn't cost me an arm and a leg and upgrade to the stick. So.
Thank you. And Greg, you know what Stephen A. always says, right? You know what he always says, right? Lay off the weed.
Oh, my God. So the fact.
You're making Paul look smart for what he said about Rubio, honestly. Like,
what are you
talking about?
Smart.
Him
look smart when I said it.
Fine, don't believe me.
Hey,
see,
Greg, if you need help putting up the Kevin Durant billboards, I'll help you. I'll help you put them up all on the freeway. All the way. Go make a move.
And if he, man, listen here. He shows up. He leads this team to the promised land. I want a championship ring. I want the ring because I did it. Me.
Let's do this in the gentleman first order. And please tell people how they can get a hold of you.
My first?
Yeah.
Me first?
Maybe.
Okay. At Ashley Neville, super simple. Instagram, Twitter, I think my name is pretty much across the board, just Ashley Neville. Or my website, ashleyneville.com. It's being reconstructed still. So best way to reach me, Instagram, slide in the DMs if you have any questions. Keep them professional, willing to answer any fun questions that anyone has.
Greg, you're
hey, Ashley, that's one V, one L, right? N-E-V-E-L?
Yep, N-E-V-E-L.
Ashley Neville, 1V1L. If you want to find me, you go to ashleyneville.com and you ask her to send you my way. I'm easy to find. I'm everywhere. At writing more. WritingMoore. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and at azcentral.com. But for real, the only place I'm not is Ashley's DM, but she'll tell you how to get to me. Just go hit Ashley, she'll find me.
I just want everybody out there to know this is how we act amongst all of us in person too, as well. Cam Cox,
we're super
Twitter,
professional.
Instagram, Facebook, super professional, and of course 12 Sports at 5, 6, and 10 on 12 News here in Phoenix.
And then of course this is the Kid, so you can get us at the Sports Kid on the Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, SportsKid.com. It is always with the Kid, and you can get me directly at CLR on Sports. Guys, I appreciate it. There's so much It was so much fun having the three of us or four of us all together as opposed to one after the other. This is a tea party, and I appreciate all of you for hopping on the Carry Like You Online on the Facebook. Thank you very much.
Thank
Yo,
you.
Thanks for having me, man.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll do
Thank
this again
you.
Soon,
Bye,
everyone. Have a great Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow.